Welcome into the podcast. It is the Ion College Basketball Podcast After Dark for us recording whenever you happen to be listening. We are here on a Tuesday night, a little ahead of schedule because Gary Parrish is stranded in Memphis. I believe that's a song. He's heading over to New York City, but he can't get out due to the ice storms down there in that part of the country. So we are recording this just after a pretty awesome night in basketball. And Jeff Goodman and Gary Parrish are going to get to that in just a minute there. But fellas, how are you doing? And by the way, I wanted to address this off the top. I had full intentions to start this podcast by playing guitar, but the problem is, since we are recording this at 11:15 at night, I do live with a fiance who's trying to sleep right now, so I can't exactly. Listen, here's my vow to you. I will have something at the end of this podcast. I'm going to do it in the morning after she's gone, and I can do this. I'll have something like in this podcast with me playing guitar, but I just can't do it now.
We want it live.
You're not even married, and you already got somebody got you scared to play guitar at 11 p.m. at night.
It ain't even that. It's courtesy to the people below me. I live on the fifth floor. I got people. You know, I don't want to be that guy, right?
You're too young to be courteous.
Sorry, guys. Listen, it's going to happen. I'm not shying away from it. Hey, Parrish, this is all your fault and Mother Nature's fault. If you were in New York right now.
Hey, we got ice storms, man. And I don't even know what that means. Like, honestly, I drove back and forth to my radio studio today, which is normally about a 24-minute drive. 24-minute drive. That's what it is. Ask me how long it took me to get there today.
25 minutes.
96 minutes.
Yes, 25 minutes. I mean, it was like I had no problems, but the issue you run into, I don't know why I couldn't get a flight out of Memphis International. I have no idea. But, like, my kid's been out of school for 2 days, and he'll almost certainly be out of school tomorrow. And the problem is because there's rural parts of Mississippi. I know that probably blows your mind. And so if even, like, one old country road is iced over, they can't put the buses out there because then everybody gets sued. So, like, school, like, will be shut down for the third straight day tomorrow. No question.
You can look for Parrish Wednesday night and Thursday night on CBS Sports Network. Parrish and Goodman will both be on Seth Davis's courtside show, right?
I'm not on this week. I got the week off.
They're spreading you guys out. Goodman had it last week. Parrish has it this week. Now, you guys work better together, man. The podcast is proof. But regardless, Parrish will be on then. And then you're doing studio stuff Thursday night?
Wednesday and Thursday night. Supposedly. I mean, like, I got to get there. There's no guarantee that the flight's going to leave on time at, 8:25 a.m. But, yeah, the plan is to do studio stuff Wednesday night and Thursday night with Ala Abdelnaby, Wally Zerbiak. I'm not sure who all is in there, but it should be a good time. It's always fun to sit up there and just watch basketball and talk about it a little bit rather than have to go interview a bunch of people and write about it.
Yeah, I get you, man. Well, hopefully you can get into New York City safe. For everyone listening to the podcast, if you're doing this here on Wednesday morning, in the afternoon, whenever, we are just minutes off of an awesome Tuesday night in hoops, and I want to dive right into that right away. And we'll go – I mean, the Ole Miss-Vandy ending was ridiculous, and we'll get to that in just a second real quick. But I do want to spend some time, obviously, on Bo Ryan being a bad, bad, bad man. And Wisconsin, of all teams, is the lone unbeaten left in the Big Ten. How about that? Goodman, I will go to you first. Is this more about Indiana or more about Wisconsin to you? Thoughts on that game? Awesome game. And all credit to the Badgers, who are living up to the reputation of basically being unpredictable in this kind of way.
You know, we wrote them off. I mean, they got blown out. I was there when they lost to Florida in Gainesville, got crushed, then lose to Creighton, no shame. Then I think they lost to Virginia, and that was the one that everybody was like, all right, you know what, Virginia's not very good. You can't lose to Virginia and be a top 25 team. So everybody kind of wrote them off, didn't have Jordan Taylor, and then lost Josh Gosser at the beginning of the year. And, it's hard when you lose your point guard, your leader, which people didn't understand. That's what Josh Gosser was. He was their leader, their point guard, and their best perimeter defender. And you lose all that, and you lose it right before the start of the season, it's going to affect you. And we all think it's automatic that Bo Ryan and Wisconsin can just keep going, no matter who they lose. And I think that's the case to some degree, except for the fact when you lose a guy that close to the start of the season and you lose a guy that does that much for your team, they didn't have a leader to come in and replace him because they had lost Jordan Taylor last year, who was kind of the guy that did everything for him. So they were going to struggle this win was unbelievable. I mean, listen, going to Bloomington.
Totally.
The top five places to play in America and beat Indiana, the number two team in the country, whatever you want to call it, whether they're one, two, three, four, they're an elite team. And to beat them and silence Cody Zeller in the second half and just make every shot. I mean, Jimmy Jackson's kid makes a huge shot. Ryan Evans, did you see the defensive victory?
Yeah.
Played on him in that play.
How gorgeous was that play? That was just that was straight. I mean, just I felt like it was a play that you would see commonly in the NBA in the 70s. That was such an awesome shot.
But the last like four shots they took, it was like Ben Bruss with one, Ryan Evans with one, Trevion Jackson with one, and Brusewicz made a couple big plays. So it just shows you what Wisconsin is. They're not one player. Sam Decker is a terrific freshman, but they are a great basketball team because of Bo Ryan. The system, the players, they play great help side defense. They're not athletic. They're not a great team in terms of their individual talent. But what they are is a really well-coached team.
Go ahead, Gary.
Listen, they've never finished worse than fourth in the Big Ten in all of Bo Ryan's years. So think about it. And that's 11 before this year. So, like, think about it. That's almost impossible to do wherever you're at. I mean, even John Calipari, who's recruiting at a ridiculously high level, is still now hit this season that might not go nearly as well as any of us anticipated. And so I say all that to say, if you ever write Bo Ryan team off in November or December, you're just being silly because, you know, we've had more than a decade of a sample size, and they're never not respectable. Sometimes they're great. Most times they're good. They're never, ever, ever bad. So writing them off was crazy. That said, even the good Bo Ryan teams aren't supposed to go into Assembly Hall and beat an Indiana team like this. Nobody's supposed to go into Assembly Hall and beat Indiana this year, not this team.
Maybe Indiana's not quite as good as we think.
Maybe, but listen, like, you know, let's not get it twisted. They were like 11-point favorites tonight. I mean, when you're an 11-point favorite in college basketball, you're supposed to knock that out. So no matter what you thought of Wisconsin about the little winning streak that they've been on lately or how they've had it going, they're still not supposed to go in there and win this game. This is a massive, massive achievement for Bo and those kids.
A few thoughts here. One, I love results like tonight. They're just nice little wrinkles in the middle of a college basketball season, unpredictable finishes, and it was just an awesome game. Bo Ryan is now 17-3 against IU. He owns the Hoosiers. They beat him 11 straight times, okay? Absolutely ridiculous. I think this is the kind of win that Wisconsin is ultimately, like, they're 4-0 in the Big Ten, having a good year. They're probably going to finish top four again, but I think this is the one that bumps them a seed line ultimately. So if they end up being a four, they would have been a five if they didn't have this win. If they end up being a five, they would have been a six.
Think
however
about that.
Yeah, and that's huge.
Well, 2 weeks ago we were talking about them maybe being an NIT team, and now you're right. If you know the phony brackets come out tomorrow, whoever's going to put them out is going to have Wisconsin on, like, honestly, they might have them in the five line, and it just goes to show you how quickly people are giving up on Kentucky already. And if Kentucky does get it going, and I know they don't have the same type of resume wins on their schedule that Wisconsin or any team in the Big Ten is going to have, but if they do seemingly get this thing going and just reel off some wins, they can go from an NIT team, which they are right now, to a team that's in the 8-9 game in the span of 2 weeks.
Yeah,
well, that's the other thing. People are just, like, I cannot stand it. There was one analyst on television tonight sort of advancing the Ole Miss-Vanderbilt game, right? And, you know, saying, like, you know, and Ole Miss and Vanderbilt are playing tonight. I don't even want to say who the analyst was, but because it doesn't matter who it was.
Call him up. Be a man.
You hear this stuff all the time. But he said, you know what, if Ole Miss wants to go to the tournament, they've got to win at Vandy tonight. Well, no, they don't. You know, like, what are you talking about? Like,
that's right.
I mean, it'd be ideal. You don't want to lose at Vandy, certainly.
But they're not out. They're not out if they lose tonight.
It is January 15th. I don't care what almost – if you're in a power conference, it almost doesn't matter what you've done to date. If you're in a power conference, you have an opportunity to still get in the NCAA tournament just by getting hot from January 15th on. So the idea that – you know, we talk about these things as if they're like – as if it's like college football, where you better not lose a game in the middle of the year. There is nothing that happened tonight, good or bad for anybody, that's going to dictate where they're at on Selection Sunday by any significant margin.
You can follow these guys on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS, at Goodman CBS. You bring up a good point, and I think largely the college basketball fan base and commentating sect, if you will, does a decent job at not getting all college football with it. We need to keep it in perspective of team resumes and how they can affect seeding. The SEC is just a little quirky this year where you just don't have a lot of opportunities, like we've mentioned that with Kentucky, and we will get to Kentucky. This is a nice little appetizer, but I do want to just go to IU first here real quick, guys, because I want to...
Hold on a second. Like, let's think about that for a second. Okay, so Ole Miss tonight, right? They come in, they're 13-2 entering today with a win over Missouri. And so they beat Vanderbilt, and that's great. Now they go to 14-2, right? But if they would have lost, they would have been 13-3 with a win over Missouri and two road losses and the other one on a neutral in overtime. You tell me they had no chance to get in the NCAA tournament sitting at 13-3 on January 16th?
It's ridiculous.
But that's the way it was framed. And I just think too often people talk in these absolutes like, you know, you got it. You better win this game.
You've got to do, to be honest, you've got to go through
it. You got to do the math, right.
And do the entire, go from 1 to 48 even. And see who 48 is right now, because Ole Miss is inside 48 of the top 48 teams and what they've accomplished. Gary, you and I go through it every week of the top 25, and we spend time on it. And Ole Miss was knocking on the door. They weren't 25, but they weren't far off.
No, how about this? If Ole Miss lost tonight, forget that they still had an opportunity to get like several big wins that could get them in and build a resume that could get them in by Selection Sunday. How about this? Even if they lost tonight and you did a mock bracket tomorrow, they'd still be in it.
Totally. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
I know I'm like getting on like a soapbox here, but it's just like talking in absolutes about the NCAA tournament and the bracket on January 15th is just about the dumbest thing you could do.
I hear you. And it's funny you mentioned 48, Goodman, as just a number to throw out there. Ole Miss, as of entering Tuesday, was 47 in the RPI, which we all have issues with, but the committee still uses it. And the RPI, unfortunately, does have an influence there. They are 47 right now. I do want to circle back to Indiana real quick and just make a few quick talking points, get your guys' thoughts. First of all, it's the first double-digit deficit IU had faced all season. Zeller played really well to start, and then he missed like his last six or seven shots, and the team kind of played decently around him, but I hadn't seen Indiana in this kind of way tonight. I figure it was more Wisconsin doing it than Indiana maybe not clicking. But I want, and Goodman, I'll go to you first here. What I don't want here, and maybe it ties to what we just talked about, let's not overreact. To me, Indiana is still an elite team within the context of college basketball this season. I still think they're a top five team. Maybe Wisconsin just went all Wisconsin on them. Are you kind of with me on that, or on the heels of that, maybe having a little more doubts about what they do in the Big Ten and in the overall big picture?
You know what? I think Indiana is a top five team in terms of talent. I'm not sure they're a top five team in terms of mentality yet. I'm not sure they kind of play like a top five team yet. And, you know, I watched Louisville last night against UConn in the second half. They just looked like they had that killer instinct. You know, everybody wanted the ball. They wanted to make big plays, whether it was Siva, whether it was Russ Smith, whether it was Jang on the defensive end, you know, Blackshear. Indiana, again, I just always question whether Cody Zeller's ever going to step up. He didn't really touch the ball, by the way, in crunch time tonight.
And the one time he did, he turned it over for the fast break the other way.
Oh, on the Hulls play.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but for the most part, if you look at it, he didn't. I mean, I think Yogi had the three, and Zeller was wide open. Excuse me. Was wide open on that play. Go ahead, Gary. Take this over. My voice is...
It's all good, it's all good, buddy. You're fired up. I love it, dude.
Listen, I still think Indiana is one of the... You know, somebody's got... Like, we pick teams apart sometimes. We got to put eight teams in the Elite Eight, all right? Like, eight teams got to be in that thing. It doesn't... You know, and it's the same thing people talk about the top 10 all the time. You put out a top 10, and somebody will say, oh, Minnesota's not a... You know, one of the... Minnesota's not a top 10 team. Well, what do you define as a top 10 team? Like, here's what I define as a top 10 team. In this year, are they one of the 10 best teams in the country? You've got, it's not like there's like, well, you know, like there's some like bar set where if a team doesn't, well, then they can't be a top 10. You got to put 10 in there.
Like the bar down. You got to bring the bar down this year.
Well, I'm going to bring up a little bit of a clashing here, because Goodman, I mean, don't you feel Minnesota's not a top 10 team?
whatever. Like, I just threw Minnesota out.
The eye test.
I know what you're saying, but hey, listen, we had some controversy. I wanted to bring it up there.
Well, my point is simple. My point is that you've got to, you know, stop talking about, you know, I don't know how these teams would measure up to last year's Kentucky team or, you know, to 74 UCLA or whatever. Like, you just have to be one of the best teams in this particular year. And I think it's pretty clear that Indiana is one of the best teams in this particular year. I think Bo Ryan deserves a lot of credit for what happened tonight. You saw in the first half, they were trying to take away the three-point shot, and they let Cody Zeller just get – and, like, Cody, nobody could guard him. Down, and so and Samantha Ponder even asked him about it, and he said, listen, you know, we're playing them a certain way, and clearly we're, you know, we're getting exposed a little bit by Cody, but, you know, we'll go in and talk about it. And then they went in and they talked about it, and that's what coaching is. You know, and that's why he's one of the best in the country. Like, the way that game was played in the first half was totally different than the way it was played in the second half, and that's not to oversimplify it, but that's called halftime adjustments. That's on Bo Ryan.
Agreed. Hey, listen, let's just not – yeah, I just – IU lost at home game to a Wisconsin team that tends to do kind of things like this as often as they can get stupid and lose a game they really, really shouldn't. But I still have faith in Indiana overall. I do like Louisville more, that Goodman mentioned that. Before we get to Louisville, we'll go in-state here. Kentucky – let's address this. I mean, we had stuff on the blog over the weekend. Goodman wrote about it. The fan base in general, you know, I got a buddy who's a pretty big Kentucky fan, and I asked him after, you know, following tonight, what are the fans feeling? He's like kind of muted, a lot of frustration. They hate how lazy the team is and don't consider them clutch whatsoever. They fail to be able to have the ability to go on runs, and you look at that talent, it's frustrating. And I agreed with all of them on that. It's funny because we want to say UK is an NIT team right now, and I guess it kind of feels like that, but yet it doesn't. Gary, you've been saying UK is under the radar and underrated all season, but now that's, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Do you think things are going to turn around here? What would you evaluate Kentucky on right now going forward? Because Tennessee's, by the way, not a good team. They lose at home to A&M, and Tennessee really gives them issues here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that was a tie game with, you know, a handful of minutes to go.
Really shocking, yeah.
And so... listen, I could understand the loss at Notre Dame, the loss to Duke, because Duke has beaten everybody this year until Ryan Kelly went down and they had to go to NC State. So no shame there. You got to go to Baylor, to Notre Dame, you know, first road game for all of those kids there. Lose at home to Baylor, a little surprising, but, you know, Baylor's talented, and so – you know, you can sort of excuse that.
Yeah, but Baylor only put up 44 at Fogg, too. I mean, ugh.
Well, here, I'm just saying Baylor's, you know, to borrow one of my old phrases, they got real players. And yeah. So for them to beat you, like, okay, that's not great. That's not good, but you can kind of make sense of it. At Louisville, whatever, and they at least played well. That was kind of encouraging. But losing at home to Texas A&M, like, that's not supposed to happen. And then getting pushed the way they got pushed tonight by Tennessee, that's not supposed to happen. And I still think that with Ryan Harrow at least playing well enough to where you can keep him on the floor, you know, 28 to 32 minutes, something like that, I continue to believe they're going to figure it out. But clearly, I mean, we talked a week ago, I would have been telling you about this is a team that can still make the Final Four. And I guess they can because we got to put four teams in there. But I do think believing in this team to just flip a switch at some point, it's starting to feel a little bit like last year in UConn. We kept looking at that roster and saying, listen, they still got Drummond and they still got Lamb and eventually they're going to get it going. And it, you know, and they never did. And then you get them in the tournament and they're in that 8-9 game and you go, ooh, they're a scary 8-9. And then they just get removed from the bracket really quickly. This team is starting to feel like that because keep in mind that Connecticut team, go back and look at it. You love that roster just as much as you love this Kentucky roster, and it never got going. Now, maybe for different reasons, but it never got going, and this team is starting to feel a little bit like that.
Goodman, I'll help you segue that point, but I want to just quickly jump in here. One, I think we gave up on the UConn team at some point during that middle of the season. I remember talking with you about that a lot. But amidst this Kentucky team, Goodman, Nerlens Noel has actually been a very fun player to watch, been very, very good, but he's just not enough. He doesn't provide enough, right? I mean, it goes beyond that, but I think that's kind of getting lost is just how fun and productive Noel has been and how much better he's gotten since the start of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, Nerlens has been fine. He's not the issue. I mean, the issue is what's around him, and we've gone through it, you know, kind of the same thing over and over. I mean, the leadership, there's no leadership. There's not a lot of fight. But ultimately, I think it comes down to the fact that, like, Kentucky fans were spoiled last year. They had two of the greatest freshmen you will ever find. They were self-motivated. They were great leaders. They were great teammates. They didn't care about numbers. They played hard consistently. You just don't find that. And they had some, you know, Darius Miller. They had a veteran.
Yes.
You know, Terrence Jones wasn't a leader. Don't tell me Deron Lamb was a leader. They weren't. But you know what? Those guys had enough minutes built up that they didn't look like freshmen. These kids look like freshmen. They don't have that killer instinct. They don't have the leadership. They don't fit well together. Ryan Harrow doesn't make those guys better. And you know what? They still could be, again, like we said earlier, they can go on a run. They can get in the NCAA tournament. I just don't know. Again, the pieces don't fit together very well.
Yeah, I think Kentucky fans, the fact that they have this title under Cal is a huge, huge boon. I don't think they'd be by any means calling for Cal's head if they had like reached the Final Four last year and lost in the national semis to Louisville. And if they were the same team this year, I don't think it'd be like that. But I think winning that title
It'd be different.
It would definitely be different. But without a doubt, it would be different. But I'm telling you, getting that title is making this year a lot easier. I do wonder if Kentucky continues to struggle, especially in a down SEC year. And I know we have a tendency to talk about Kentucky a lot on the podcast, but frankly, it's because they are always interesting. They always offer up storylines, and their fans are freaking everywhere and very passionate. And what if Kentucky is a team with four SEC losses by the end of February? I mean, if that's the case, I will be interested to see what the temperature is with that fan base then. I don't want to project too much and say they're going to be like that, but I don't have any confidence.
They'd be happy with four by the end of February, I think, right now.
Well, they've got one right now, and that's a decent point. And it's almost ridiculous that you've got a team like this. If we had told you, I love coming back middle of the season, thinking about what we thought preseason. This didn't seem conceivable. It's part of why we love sports so much, is that it can have this hugely unpredictable element. We can move on, though.
Let's say this. And Kentucky fans are a trip. Like, I enjoy them as much as I can enjoy anybody. When I say enjoy them, I mean enjoy watching them and their highs and their lows. But let me be serious for one second. If you are upset and you're a Kentucky fan, like, there's nothing I can do for you. You are in the middle of what projects as one of the great college basketball runs in modern history. If you upset on a day-to-day basis, you're really losing focus of the big picture.
Yes, no, especially with what comes in next year, and we'll say that for another podcast. But let's.
No, you ready? The 2 years, three years ago, you had a team that was ranked number one much of the year, led by John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. Year after that, you go to a Final Four. Year after that, you win a national championship, and next year you got the greatest recruiting class in the history of recruiting class coming. If you're upset, you need to go for a walk.
Hey, but what's wrong with being greedy? You want to win every year.
Yeah.
You're a competitor.
Listen, I hope they freak out after every game. All right? Like, I'm not rooting for them to be rational. I enjoy them being insane. But just saying, from a rational perspective, who's got it? If we can go back 3 years, go forward the next 3 years, right? Who's going to have a more enjoyable time of winning basketball games and things of importance than Kentucky fans? I don't think anybody.
Hey, I'm going to go off the board a little bit here real quick and go to Goodman, because I went on the Crimson Cast, an Indiana podcast. Those guys do a great job, and thanks again for having me on. But one of them was very passionate and made me promise to ask you this, Goodman. He wants to know – he wants to know what Oriaki's deal at Missouri is. He's part of the Indiana podcast, but he's from Connecticut. He's a UConn fan. And he wants to know why Oriaki hasn't been better, and wanted you to defend – I think his words were your boy. And I thought it was a decent point. I mean, Oriaki hasn't been as good as we would have expected him to. But is it an Oriaki deal? Is it that offense? Because we know Pressey's very good. What would you say in terms of Mizzou and Alex O right now?
I don't know. What's Alex Oriaki averaging? What did we expect from Alex Oriaki? He's not a big-time offensive player. He never has been. He never will be. He doesn't care. And that's the best thing about Alex Oriaki. He just wants to win, rebound, and block shots. I think he's probably averaging like 10-8 or 10-9 or something like that. I mean – Alex Oriaki's doing his job there. The problem is they don't have enough guys shooting, making plays on the wing. The guys like Ernest Ross and Keon Bell, and you know, they obviously just got Jabari Brown back a couple of weeks ago. I think you got to give that time. You got to see how Phil Pressey learns how to trust those guys, those transfers, and they got to get Lawrence Bowers back.
That's baffling to me. Like, right. John Soriaki's having the best year of his career.
That's the whole thing. When they set it up, and there almost seems to be this weird – I've had a few people tweet at me. Like, there's this weird expectation that Soriaki should be, like, this top 20 draft pick big man. I've never really got that.
Out of high school. He's not that player. He's not. I mean, he's not a skilled big man who's going to get the ball in and have these great low post moves. He's a power – you know, player who can rebound, he runs the court, and you got to let him play through his mistakes. He's still getting his confidence back, believe it or not. Calhoun crushed him for 3 years.
No, and there was an NBA scout at a Missouri workout one time, and I was texting back and forth, and it was one of these deals where you're like, hey, where are you at? And he was like, oh, I'm at a Missouri workout right now. And I said, how does Soriaki look? He said he sucks, you know. But and like he doesn't suck, but like the point I'm trying to make, and I hate even saying that. I'm like trying to beat the kid. I just told you he's having the best year of his career, and if you're upset with his production, you're. I don't
know.
You
need to take a walk.
My point is, like, he ain't like I don't know what you want. Like, he ain't that great. You know, he just is what he is, and this is actually like the best version he's ever been.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know, Missouri in general, and maybe it ties in with the SEC. That league, man. We don't need to go on this again. It's just underwhelming, and I'm uninspired by it in general. Hey,
don't need to go on. Let me ask you a question. All right.
Hey, you're it's your podcast, dude. Go ahead.
All right. So on Monday, you and Dowster, you guys are going back and forth about how debating who's number one in the country is pointless and dumb. Explain to me your position.
All right. So I'm truly surprised and humbled that you took the time to listen to a podcast you weren't on. Like, I didn't even think you ever did that. So thank you for doing that.
I'll admit it. I never did.
Exactly. That's my expectation. So here's my deal, because I know where you're coming from on this, Parrish. We've talked about this like on one of the first podcasts we ever did.
I don't need you to tell me what you think we've talked about. I need you to explain to me why you think it's a waste of time and dumb to debate who is number one in the country.
Because ultimately, I don't care if other people do it. I'm just saying it bores me because ultimately it doesn't, like, mean anything. It just doesn't.
Okay, good. Okay, great. That's exactly what I wanted you to say. Now, you tell me what does mean anything that you can do.
Right. No, here's
– What the hell are we even doing?
No.
What about here?
If you want to debate, like, where are you really getting anywhere if you're debating if Indiana or Louisville is the number one team? Like, it's fun conversation. I get that. Fans have this.
Well, talk about, how is that any different than debating who's the best player in the country or who's the best point guard in the country? Whether Alex Soriaki is having a good year or bad year. How is any of it any different than that?
With the rankings talk in general, we actually have physical, tangible evidence later in the season that a committee picks teams and where they should be seated, and so that's actually what matters more, I guess. I don't care that the conversation is being held. It's just everyone works.
Why do you talk about it? You know what? When I don't care about something, guess what? I don't talk about it. I don't like I don't care about all my children. Is that a thing still? All my children?
I think it is, but
I don't care about that, so I don't ever talk about it.
But it's still out there, and Doster actually brought it up, so I addressed it with him on the podcast. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, I'm just wondering, and then you tweet about it as well. I'm just wondering.
I don't tweet about it. Find one tweet.
That's all I'm asking, because I never understand this. And if you've got a valid answer, I'll listen to it. How is debating who's the best team in the country any different than anything else that you debate in this world?
No, in that realm, if you're saying how is one debate different from any other debate under the premise that it's a debate, then it's not different, obviously. I mean, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. None of this stuff matters.
Can I get these last 3 minutes back? Can I get these last 3 minutes back, please?
I hear you.
Surprise me. You know what I think it is? Here's what I think it is. You and your little buddies get together and you try to be too cool for the rankings. Like, you're too cool for the RPI and you're too cool for the rankings.
If I was too cool for the rankings, I wouldn't do the pyramid. It's not about that.
That pyramid is ridiculous.
You ain't too cool for tempo free, baby.
Yeah, that's right. I ain't cool. I ain't too cool for anything about that. No, it ain't no deal. Listen.
I can't wait. I'm going to start monitoring your tweets, Norlander. And every time you tweet about something that is any sort of debate about whether one thing's more deserving of something than something else, I'm going to point out to you that it is a massive waste of time because it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things.
I hear where you're coming from, Gary. And if you want to point out the next time I do something like that and call me a hypocrite on it, I'm not going to stop you from doing that.
I'm calling you a hypocrite right now.
That is fine. Here's what I want to get across to you is that just because something like that, like there, you have stuff like this in your life. There's something that a lot of people have vested time in and talk a lot about, and you're just like, you know. It's fine, but I don't really have all that much passion for it. You know,
that's
we all
fine.
Have stuff.
You cannot have passion for it, but to act like there's not, you used the word dumb, Norlander.
Did I?
Or dumb. You said it's dumb.
Well, listen, I don't begrudge the conversation being held. I'm just like, you know what? You guys can do it without me. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that.
You were talking to the two people right now who spend hours on Sunday ranking basketball teams, and to have you then come on Monday.
No, but see, here's well, where I think that
really calling us dumb. I take
it. No. See, no. Here's where that is different, fellas.
No.
Listen, here's where I find what you guys do and how you guys rank things actually very interesting, because your debates are actually tied to what I write about, what I do, how I follow things. That I actually find interesting, Gary.
Hey, we influenced the AP poll. Duke got, I think, 14 number one votes in the AP poll on Monday, which isn't enough. They should have got 65. But can you ever think of a time when a number one team in the country lost and AP voters still voted them number one on Monday? Like, it almost never happened.
Or it's just going to take credit right now. Watch.
I think we influenced the vote. I think we got Duke some first votes that we never otherwise got.
I don't doubt it. And by the way, just to show you that I do actually, like, I do pay attention to this stuff and I do find value in some, like, your poll attacks, whenever you go after, must read stuff, clearly. So I don't want you to think that I'm above the fray of it. Just because I find one section of college basketball's debating to be a little, you know, silly or superfluous, that doesn't mean that, you know, it can't be done.
What? Stop using your big words.
God, I'm a writer. How dare I use big words, right? How dare I?
College basketball podcast. Who are you trying to impress?
I'm not trying to impress anyone, man.
Luke Wynn ain't listening to this.
Go play a damn song, will you? That's what people wanted to hear this week. They didn't want to hear the last 6.5 minutes.
Listen to Norlander try to throw in big words because he thinks Gassaway is listening right now.
Okay, and Gary thinks that I'm like dropping these words to appease other people. God forbid it's actually part of my vernacular. Like, I'm sorry, I don't speak Memphis. I don't have that Mississippi lingo, dude. You're from Mississippi. The head. You're from Mississippi. It's created the best writers this country's ever seen. So what are you talking about?
We write about college basketball. Stop taking.
So I got to bring it down to a fourth grade level because we talk about college basketball. That ain't fair.
Yes.
That's silly. Hey. Oh, I'm gonna totally get off topic here. How about Dockett's dropping the fact that refs make $1,500 a game? I didn't think it was that much. I would have guessed like
$2,000. They make more than $1,500. They make $2,000 including expenses.
That's a hell of a gig.
Yeah. Now, some leagues pay $2,000 a game, including expenses. So that's why a lot of the refs drive instead of fly.
Ask Goodman how much he gets for doing courtside.
No comment.
Hold on. I'm gonna do this right. So $2,000 a game. Okay. And then a lot of these refs will work. Geez, they'll work like 90 games a year. Right. There are some refs that can pull off that many games.
Yeah. There are a few now. Refs aren't working as many as they used to, but there are a handful that will work 90 plus.
All right, even if they're not working 90 and they're only working like 70 or so, that's more than $150,000 a year working college.
That's not even their full time job.
Exactly.
And you're talking about 4 or 5 months. You know.
That is good work if you can get it. God, that is. I did not think they were making that much. Naive on my part, but anyway, I figured I'd drop that in. Hey, is there anything else you guys want to talk about here as we? As we steer toward the end of the podcast, Goodman, I'm sorry that you had to sit through 7 minutes of Parrish interrogating me.
Honestly, remind me next time. I'll just cut it off. It's fine. I'll cut right off.
You called ranking basketball teams dumb. I took it personally.
No, I don't think ranking teams is dumb at all. And we're not getting back into this. I, for the record, I do not think ranking teams is dumb, okay? That is unequivocal across the board, my belief. Parrish, don't do that to me. And you know what he's gonna what's going to happen? He's going to tweet this damn podcast out, and he's going to be like, here's the podcast where Norlander hates ranking teams. And I'll be like,
no, I just could not wait. Ever since Monday's podcast got posted, I couldn't wait for Wednesday's podcast because I wanted to talk to you about this.
Listen, man, and this is why I love doing the podcast, because you know what? Bring it on, man. You guys just come at me with all my faults. I understand I'm an imperfect person, and I can take it, so I really appreciate that.
Stop apologizing for yourself. It comes off as a weakness.
Hey, I can't help it, man. I'm weak. I'm a weak, feeble man. It's something.
Oh, we know that, obviously. So, you're not
you
even married.
You play your guitar at 11 o'clock at night because you're scared your fiance. Like, listen. I got a wife and kid and a 17-year-old Italian exchange student, and I'm in my house just yelling right now.
I got a G chord right here for Gary right here. Ready?
Yes.
There you go. There's a G, okay?
That's awesome. Yeah. Come on, get off.
I got to be quiet. I might wake up my fiance. Meantime, I got a 9-year-old. I'm just yelling in my house. I don't even care. I'm just sitting here.
Your kid doesn't even have school tomorrow. He's not in school all week.
How about this? So he has no concept of like anything, right? So this morning he wakes up and we get up and we go, hey, all right, you got to get in the bathtub. It's 9 a.m. before he wakes up. We just let him sleep in, okay? But he doesn't know it's 9 a.m. when he wakes up. He just thinks it's like whatever time. It's time to get up and go to school. So we tell him, hey, listen, you got to get in the bathtub and get up. And then he walks in the kitchen and he sees it like the clock says like 9:25. He's like, Dad, the clock says 9:25. I'm going to be, you know, late for school. I'm late for school. I said, no, you're fine. And the clock's just, the power went out last night, so the clocks are messed up. And so we get him in the car, the whole deal. And he thinks he's going to school the whole time. And then we just went and had breakfast. Like, it was our own practical joke on a 9-year-old.
You're such a good father.
Can you hear the guitar?
Yeah, yes. But I want you, I mean, sing.
I'm not going to sing right now.
Sing.
I can't sing, guys, because...
What are you going to sing?
Do a cover of that new Justin Timberlake song.
I don't know the new one, but I can do... What was the old one?
Cry Me, can you do Cry Me a River?
I can't, but I can do... What was the...
I only listen to Cry Me a River on repeat.
Hey, new JT. That new JT song is pretty good. Goodman, you've heard it, right? You've listened to it?
It's good? The new one with Jay? He's got J-Hope with him?
That's all right. You didn't like it?
Oh, my God. And you got to understand.
Hey, that's your boy right there in Memphis.
Yeah, we're Memphians, right? We're basically the same dude. No. Oh, if that's your comeback song?
That's a good point, though. But we'll see what the whole thing is. Yeah, I know.
Even J-Hove couldn't save it for him.
Yeah. Hey, Goodman, are you bum, man? No Rodney Clark Gonzaga game this weekend. Gonzaga Butler. You're still going, though, right?
Yeah, I'm doing the double dip. I got to make it in between. It's going to be a close call. I got 4 o'clock Syracuse-Louisville. Then I'm going to bolt out of there right on the way. I might drive him right to get, you know, at the same time.
It's so tough for Goodman. Like, imagine what it'd be like if you were going to, like, some party on Saturday only because, like, this one girl was going to be there, and then you find out she's not going to be there. Like, it just ruins everything. Like, that's what Goodman's going through with Rodney Clark right now.
I know.
I got Kellen Dunham. Kellen Dunham's my guy now. He's going to make, like, 10 threes against Gonzaga. Him and Pangos are going to go back and forth Saturday.
Oh, God, you put Pangos in there with him. That's like
going to be it's going to be
an white player thing.
An overload of white for him, for sure.
What do you expect? Wait. It's Butler Gonzaga. Seriously.
You're going to be in heaven. You're going to be in heaven.
Yeah, but Syracuse, no Sutherland. Butler with no Clark. You know, if both those teams lose, I already know your column, so there you go. Do you have anyone that's driving you, by the way, or are you going to drive yourself there?
Greg Shaheen is driving.
Look at you. Look at this guy getting ushers from one game to another. So what he'll do is he'll end up wanting to write in the passenger seat as he goes from one game to the next, but he's just going to end up BSing the whole ride.
I'm going to buy him a little chauffeur hat, I think, tomorrow. One of those true chauffeur hats. You look good, right?
I would think he would look pretty good. So, all right, good deal, fellas. Well, listen, it was great having you. It was a good time. But listen, I promise on next week's pod, I'm gonna ask you for like an intro and outro. Parrish, you can give me the intro song. I'm gonna do something like Goo Goo Dolls for Goodman on the outro. Like I gotta learn it. But
exactly. Hey, listen, just clear it with your fiance. Make sure she's okay with you. Does she even know you? She even know you're talking to us right now?
I do not tell her this. Are you kidding me? I don't let her know I talk to you guys like this.
All right.
Yeah,
all
right. I can't do that. All right, listen, fellas, it was a great time here. Safe travels to both of you. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS and at Goodman CBS. We will be back with the Friday podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.